Good evening, Saints. God bless you this evening, each and every one. Good to see everybody who's joining. You're more than welcome. Sister Mildred, good to see you there. And everybody else, Brother Cadman, Brother Sasha and family, Brother Faithful, Brother Vlad, Brother Georgie, each and every one, God bless you this evening. last week, we're having a look at the earthquake. The last couple of weeks, we're just having a look, trying to catch up with some of these signs of the times, just the day we're living in and the prophecy and so forth. And it just led on to something which may lead us on to something else. If you've been watching the news, you see what's going on at this time. You'll just see things are shaking a little bit again. And the strange thing is, if you go and try to check it in the news, you'll find the news is just wants to tell you if you're in the UK about Gary Lineker, something about match of the day. That's the big story. If you're looking at the rest of the world news this week, it was all to do with the Oscars. So it doesn't matter that the world will fall apart. Let's put all of our headlines on the Oscars. Let's put, that's just the world we're living in. I find it really, really strange that. So we wanted to look at some, I didn't really know what title to give to it. So I'm just going to share my screen. Sorry for one second here. Sorry, I just need to get this going here. Okay, so I thought maybe just to call it The Pale Horse Cometh, or like the footprints or the footbeat of where we're living at the moment. I'll share my screen and you'll see. But whatever our title is going to be, you'll see, I really do believe by the end, the thought that we're trying to get today, I think you'll try to see that it might lead us onto something else depending on how things go in the world in the next couple of days, just watching something which may unfold to something pretty big. But let's just pray first. Father, we come before thee, Lord, upon this day once again, just to acknowledge our reliance upon you. Lord, we don't want to lean on our own thoughts, our own understanding. We don't want to follow, Lord, opinions or this and that. But Lord, it's your unfailing word of prophecy. That's what you desire. To walk in the channel, Lord, of revealed truth, to walk with you. Father, whatever comes, Lord, how we just think of that story, Lord, that you just take us by the hand. No matter where you lead us, as long as, Lord, we know that you're leading and that, Father, our hand is in yours. That's all we desire in this life. So bless the study. Help us, Lord, I pray. Bless each person that's joined in, them on YouTube, be with them as well. Anybody that would watch this down the way, may your blessing be upon them. And guide us now, Lord, Father, into something, Lord, that will quicken our souls, that will help us, that, Father, will anoint our eyes to see the heavenly vision, and, Lord, to better see and understand, that we may walk with you in the light, which is our desire. Bless your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So God bless you, saints. Let's get straight into it. Our scripture is going to be, we're looking at the pale horse, just trying to get a little bit of an understanding of something to do with this. And our scripture is Revelation 6, verse 7 and 8. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast, that's the eagle, saying, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. So we know that fourth seal, we've read that many, many times before. But I just want to maybe just show how this fourth seal unfolds itself. Because we know we're living and we're coming up to the climax of the ages. Everything which has happened before has been in part. Now things are coming to a climax. Things are building up to something. Everybody can feel it. It's been a long time this world could feel that something's building, something's brewing. And we'll see it with this fourth seal that everything that's gone before has been in part. But now we're living in the very shadows of the fullness of what was simply in part before. Sorry, I'll just check to see if we unmute that. Good. Okay, so we're speaking about the part of something and then the fullness coming. So the conditions of the day, whatever we see, if you look in the economic realm, look in religious realm, we look in the physical realm, we look at earthquakes, whatever you look at, everything is building up. You can see there's a quickening. You can just see things are getting more and more intense. Things are coming quicker and quicker together. And each and every one of these birth pains, I just made a slide just to say that. Now that we're looking at the climax of the ages. So what's in part, but it's what we're seeing now in part is leading to a fullness of things. And these birth pains that we see now, all these things taking place in whatever realm you want to look at, they testify of a main event to come. When you find a woman in travail, a woman in birth pains, it's building up to an event. So when we see these things, these shakings and everything taking place in whatever realm that we look at, I think we must never forget that it's building up to something. These are not the end in themselves, but these are pointing to a main event. Now, Daniel says it in Daniel chapter 12. He says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of your people. So he's speaking of the end time for Israel. He says, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. You know, so all the times of trouble we've had before, whether it was the Second World War, whatever times of trouble we've had, there's been a lot through history. But the Bible tells us that all of these things are building up to a time of trouble such as has not been since there was a nation upon the earth. Now, so that's quite a thing to think about. And that's obviously getting into the tribulation. So these birth pains are leading up to a very serious event, which is going to happen according to prophecy. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, for then shall be great tribulation. So I just put it at the bottom there. That word great in Greek is megas, where we get mega. So it's a mega tribulation, which means big, exceedingly. The great or the greatest tribulation, something that's mighty. So we've had tribulations before. We've had times where Christians were put to death. We've had tribulation in different parts of history and different areas of the world. But Jesus is speaking to us here of an event called the Great Tribulation. So this is the mega tribulation. This is the greatest of all tribulations. It's the full manifestation of what before had been previously only manifest in part. Now I'm just thinking of Brother Branham when he speaks in the new ministry, when he speaks of it, in the message, Look Away to Jesus. And he says, when the squeeze comes down, he says, watch the third pull. Then he says, that which you've seen in part will manifest in the fullness of its power. You know, so even the Lord is building things up to a climax. All the manifestation inside of your life is building up to something. Now, God is building, God is preparing, it's leading to something. And I think it's really, really important to keep our eyes on that. Now, we looked at the earthquakes the last couple of weeks. And Revelation 16, we read that scripture once again, when the seventh angel in the tribulation pours out his vial, there comes great things happen. Verse 18, there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. So all of these other earthquakes that we see, Turkey, we've just seen recently, the Alaska, like we saw, everything is leading up to a mega earthquake, to the great earthquake. There was a great earthquake. You know, so you can see all of these birth pains are testifying of something big. Now, they all are harbingers or forerunners of the real thing that's coming. And we know that Brother Ram says that God was warning in that Alaska earthquake by a tremor what he'll soon do on a greater scale. So when you look in the news and you look at what's taking place, what you see happening, and especially when things start getting closer and closer together, there's a voice behind that. And that voice, like I just gave the title of this, that's like footprints you can hear coming. It's like hoofbeats that you can hear of a horse coming. And it's the approaching of something. And each time that you see these things, it gets closer and closer and closer. And modern events are testifying of these things that were given to us and we are warned of in prophecy. So when you look at these four horsemen of the apocalypse, because the pale horse rider is the fourth one of them, exactly the same thing. This pale horse rider we'll see is the manifestation in its fullness of everything that was just in part before. What was previously in a measure, it now heaps up right into the full measure when you get into the tribulation period, because our white horse, the first horse rider, we know is deception. Our red horse, warfare, conflict. Our black horse, famine, economic wars. You know, you go and read in your seals. You see, that was the characteristics of those days. Yeah, so it's building up. So we had a deception in part in the beginning, but in the tribulation period, we see the deception to end all deceptions now. We see the entire world bowing down to worship the beast, which is the greatest of all the deceptions. It's not just a deception in a certain area, but the whole world comes under the sway of this deception. So that what we saw in part, even through the ages and deception that's taking place, the fullness of deception, the greatest of all deceptions, will manifest in the tribulation period. The same with the red horse rider. Now, we saw warfare and conflict and bloodshed and that with the red horse. And that comes on a regular basis down through history, including down to the first woe, the First World War, the Second Woe, the Second World War. But in the tribulation period, we get to the Battle of Armageddon, which is the war that's going to end all wars. I mean, there's never been a war like it and never will be a war like it again, because this is the mega war that finishes all things. So everything else that was happening in part, and these wars and these rumors of wars, are just pointing us to something. There's a main event that is coming, and that's going to come in the tribulation period. And again, our famines, the black horse rider, a measure of wheat for a penny, you know, with his scales in his hand, that speaking of the economic woes and so forth in the natural, each of these speak of financial crisis. And we've had the Great Depression, and we've had great financial crises and economic woes. We see what's happening in Ukraine, the economy. We had it in Zimbabwe, the economy. We have lots of woes and crises. But this is building up to the mega crisis. I mean, there's never going to be a collapse like there's going to be the collapse of the world economies as we get into the tribulation period, so that the economy of the beast can rise up, that no man can buy or sell unless you're part of that system. You know, so you can see everything that takes place is a harbinger. It's a forerunner. It's just God's grace, if you hear his voice, speaking to us of what is to come. You know, just warning us, be careful. You know, don't get caught up in too many of these things, because, you know, what's coming is going to be big when it really, really comes. Now, if I might speak in this next week, depending how it goes, but if you've been watching the news, you'll see there's a serious crisis looming at the moment in the economic world. Like I say, go and try to find this on the mainstream media. You're going to find all sports, and you're going to find all the Oscars and all that. But, you know, just last Friday, I think it was the second biggest banking crash in all history, in American history, where Silicon Valley Bank collapsed and closed down, and the government had to take it over. And this is the bank that funds Silicon Valley, which is all the technology firms, all the startups. Like I was saying to the children, Roblox, they put their money in there. You know, so many of the big companies, they invest their money in Silicon Valley Bank, and it collapsed. And you see the headlines, Forbes, bank stock crash intensifies. And then it went from there. Then it got a second bank. Saturday, it was now the third worst banking crash in American history. There was another bank that crashed then on Saturday. And then 20 more banks had to suspend trading. And now the guy in the top there, these analysts, they're saying, we haven't seen anything yet. You know, so I don't know. I wait and see what's going to happen. At the bottom there, the Guardian, Silicon Valley Bank collapse may be the start of a slow rolling crisis. It just rolls over. One bank gets caught up. There's like an avalanche starts taking place, where one bank after another starts closing. We saw it in 2007, 2008. And we know what that great recession, how it shook the world. And then you see today now, Switzerland is the one that's in crisis now. Credit Suisse, the big Swiss bank, it's in a crisis now. And everyone's saying the free fall of Credit Suisse renews fears, you know, about a banking crisis. Will Credit Suisse lead to another banking crisis? So, you know, these are all birth pains, that there's going to come a final collapse one of these days. And the Lord now, he allows these things to happen. These things start coming, that people just get used to it, that I've seen. You know, people sometimes don't pay attention and say, but hey, this one could be a serious one. You know, because the government tries to tell you Biden comes on TV. Now there's nothing to worry about. Our banks are safe. Yeah, that's what they said in 2008 as well, just before everything collapsed. You know, so it's very interesting to watch these things. If it keeps going, the next week, we'll speak about the collapse of the economy. We'll speak about America's foreign debt. We'll speak about what is said in the message, or what's going to happen. But these are all forerunners of it. These are all harbingers of what's to come. You know, so when you take these things now, the white, the red, and the black, that's what makes your pale horse. Your pale horse is white, is red, and is black. So the three always come into the one. You'll find that right through the Bible. If you go and have a look at the dream, the visions of Daniel, he saw one beast like a lion, saw another beast like a leopard, then he saw the third kingdom coming like a bear. Then the fourth kingdom was an amalgamation of all of those beasts. So those three beasts that were there, the first was Babylon, and then the Persian Empire, and then the Greeks. It all heaped up into the Roman Empire. That fierce beast that he speaks about, that fourth beast, was an accumulation. Was everything that had been before came into that final beast. And that's the beast that takes us right the way down to the end. So all of these things that we're seeing, the deception, Satan's tactic, is the warfare, conflict, everything heaps up into the pale horse rider when he starts to ride. So we can see we're coming to this. The pale horse rider is a combination of everything that's gone before. So all of these crises and all of these wars and all of these economic failures of the past, everything heaps up into the pale horse rider. You know, those are just forerunners of what's to come upon the earth. And that's why it says in the fourth seal, I looked and behold a pale horse, and power was given over them over the four parts of the earth to kill with the sword. There's your red horse. And with hunger, that's the famine. There's your black horse. And with death, that's your pestilence. You know, sorry, that's your red, white, and your black horse. You'll find each of these things is tied up in this pale horse rider. Because the prophet says we're coming to the climax of the ages. Everything is building up to a climax. And we're not too far from that. He says, watch. Brother Ram says, watch. Rides a pale horse as he appears now. On this ride, so he's coming on his last ride. He says, this last ride, he's on his last now. That's the pale horse. Now, that's not in our day. That will be on down. It's the seal foretold. See, because the church has gone up when this happens. You know, so we really thank the Lord for that. So when we see this pale horse, the rider gets on his horse and starts riding his final ride, that's in the tribulation period. Because when the bride goes up, Satan comes down. And Satan incarnates himself in the false prophet. He becomes the beast. He's given the heart of the beast. And then woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Revelation 12. For the devil has come down among you, having great wrath. For he knoweth that his time is short. You know, so that's what you can see. When this event is going to take place, immediately after the rapture, Satan comes down. Then he gets on that horse. And he starts riding now his pale horse. So what is holding this back now? Now, Satan, obviously, now he so much wants to get on his pale horse. And he so much wants to take over the kingdoms of this earth in fullness. You know, he wants to take over the economies and cause people to bow down and worship him. Otherwise, he'll shut you out of the economy. He wants to, you know, be in charge of things so people that don't worship him, he can be displaying his sword again and he can put them to death. You know, he wants to be in charge of everything so he can spread his deception over the whole earth. So the whole earth will bow down and worship him. But there's something holding him back. I mean, Revelation chapter 7, those angels are told, hold back those winds. It's not yet time. It's not yet time for this to come in the fullness. You know, these things that have been happening in part, let them remain in part. Let there just be temporary manifestations happening now, because the last of the elect hasn't yet been sealed in. No, so it's just grace and mercy, friends, that is holding this pale horse rider back from riding. It's just that the lamb is seeking the last of his sheep. No, that voice, every one of his sheep has to hear his voice. And that is what's holding it back. Paul tells us in Thessalonians, He says, don't be troubled, people telling you that the coming of the Lord is already at hand. He says, no. He says, the man of sin must first be revealed. You know, that pale horse rider, he must first be revealed. He says, but until his time comes, the Holy Ghost is going to hold him back from being revealed. You know, so the Lord holds these things back until the appointed time. Something is restraining the power of the devil, holding him back from the fullness of what he wants to manifest and take over until the Lord brings in the last of his elect. We know that. You know, Revelation tells us the same thing. Now, as we get to the point, the fourth seal, and I looked and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him. Wow, this is quite an image now that John gives us. He sees this in the vision. He writes it down as he's commissioned, and he sends it out to us, to our age, because this is our age. There's going to be a pale horse, and the name of the he who sat on him was Death, and hell follows after him. Wow. So as with many of the things in the book of Revelation, death and hell are here personified. They put us being beings or put as people. Yeah, and Paul does the same thing in Romans. He says, death reigned from Adam to Moses. So he's saying that death is like a king. It's like a skeleton king, you know, like you see all those horror films. And death reigned and put on its crown and it ruled over man from Adam to Moses. That's what Paul tells us. And then Paul tells us again in 1 Corinthians when he speaks on the rapture, he says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So he takes death and says, it's our enemy. You know, so this thing of death, death is not just a concept. You know, death can be personalized like in this kind of a way. And when you get to the tribulation period now, death in its fullness gets onto this horse and starts going on its final ride on his pale horse. And the horse has the same color as the rider. He's a pale horse. Why is it a pale horse? Because pale, if you look at the word pale, it's the color of people when they're about to die. You know, when somebody has that look, that color, that pale color, it's the look of death that's upon a person. And now when somebody's about to die, first comes death on the pale horse. And now, but it's telling us that he's not coming by himself. There's another guy coming with him who's called hell. This is Hades, the place of the dead. And when death comes and strikes, the next thing that comes, Hades comes and collects those that are dead and takes them down to the realms of the dead. Like now, if somebody dies, you call the undertaker, they come and take the person away. Here comes death, strikes the earth with death, and hell follows immediately after it. It's a serious thing to think about. So pale again is the color of one stricken with disease or death. It describes the color of people affected by the plague. So during the time of these plagues, which are going to fall upon the earth in the tribulation period, we're going to have a pale horse rider. It's also the color of one who's moved with the emotions of terror. Pale speaks of fear. You know, so you can imagine the fearful things that are coming upon the earth. When this rider starts to ride, who's called death and hell follows after him. Now, where we're living now, the time we're living now, we're living in the time of life and death, because we can personify life as well. Jesus is the person of life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. So life is not just a force. Life is a person. You know, it's really personal. In the tribulation period, death itself, separation, Satan himself will be incarnate in the false prophet, get onto that horse, and death will be personified then. But now there's a great struggle going on between life and death. Now, death has part sway, part dominion, but life is struggling with death all the time. In the preaching of the word, it's always life struggling with death. God's trying to shine light in. There's a struggle between light and darkness. Satan now, death, now is given authority over individuals. He can go and take somebody's life if it's their time to pass away. But in the tribulation period, he's going to have full authority. He's not just going to have a little bit of authority, death. He's going to be given full authority. My, it's a sad thing to think about. The Gentile nations, when they cross the line between mercy and grace, now is still the time of mercy. Now there's the life is struggling. The voice of life is speaking to the souls of people, saying, I've set before you life and death. Why will you die, O Israel? Choose life and live. You know, there's the struggle going on, you know, between life and death. But one of these days, the person of life, Christ, gets off the mercy seat, and there's no more the offer of life to this world. In the tribulation period now, it's just given to the full authority of death. Because if you look at that scripture, it says, his name was death and hell followed him, and power was given over to them. Authority was given over unto them. And they go forth now. Satan is given this full authority as he goes forth. You think of life and death, the great mistake that people make. There's Jesus and Barabbas. Imagine the world choosing death, a murderer, Barabbas, instead of choosing the person of life. Imagine that. That's the great struggle that's going on. Yeah, and the people said, give us Barabbas. Yeah, and they chose Barabbas and put the person of life to death. And what did that cause now? That caused the other picture there, the destruction of Jerusalem. That caused Jerusalem to be surrounded by the Romans. The very Romans that the Jews had made a covenant with so they could put Jesus to death were the very Romans now that came and besieged their city one generation later. Shut them in. Remember, Jesus wept over Jerusalem when he saw this coming. He said, the day is coming that they're going to shut you in and they're going to lay you low. And there's not going to be one stone left upon another. Because now when they rejected the person of life and Israel crossed the line between grace and mercy over the tears of the Savior, like we've said before, though he wept for them, though he pleaded with them, but in the end, they rejected life and they chose death and they thought it was a good choice. Like this age we're living in now, they're choosing death continually. They're rejecting life. The governments with their policies, they legislate against life and they legislate death. Go look at abortion and those kind of things. You know, there's just everything's anointed in this age by this pale horse rider. You can see it. And that led Israel in AD 70 now. And what happened inside of the city? There was the famine. There was the pestilence. There was the sword. There was no food. And then the disease, when they're shut in for 2 years, they ran out of food. Diseases went rampant. Finally, the Romans came and destroyed the city with the sword. So, you know, that was a tribulation period at the end of the Jewish age. Now we're living in the time at the end of the Gentile age. And we can see that it's a similar sort of situation in the days that we're living in. But what a pity to choose death over life. That's the saddest of things. That's why Jesus, when he was carrying his cross and those women were weeping, those women of Jerusalem, he told them, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and weep for your children. Because if they've done this in a green tree, what will they do when it's dry? He says, look, you don't know what's coming upon this city. And he warned his disciples and he told them death is going to strike the city. When you see Jerusalem compassed about with the armies, flee to the mountains. He that's outside of the city, don't go back. Don't get caught in the city at that time. You know, and the Son of Man now came and ministered an entrance, ministered deliverance because he's the person of life. And he ministered that to the people. So death in Greek is Thanatos, that's his name, and hell is Hades. And you always see they come together. There's death there, the pale horse, right? You can see, here comes Hades behind him. It's like they're inseparable partners, these two. You know, when one comes, the other one's going to be following. Hades is the, you know, death is the chief partner, and he's got the other one coming. And saints, this is a terrible combination to think about. Now, imagine death itself. You're facing death, and as soon as you face up to death, here comes Hades, the realm of the dead, to pack your way to that place. That's what's going to happen in the tribulation period. It's a sad thing to think about. But Proverbs tells us, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Wow, so you've got to choose one or the other. And this world, friends, they don't love Christ. They don't love life. And they choose death. And they don't realize what it's going to be when death takes over in the tribulation period. When this pale horse rider goes forth. And he has full dominion and full authority. All that he offered to Jesus, all of the kingdoms of the earth and the glory of that they hold, all of that Satan's going to be given for 3.5 years authority to rule and reign over all of those kingdoms. And everything will come under his sway. Wow. Because where's the problem coming in here? When this happens, there's no more intercessor. There's no more blood between you and death. Oh, why do we not fear death now? None of us want to die. Naturally speaking, Satan still has dominion over your fallen body. You know, so I mean, you can get sick, you can die. But to the soul that has been saved, your soul, you have no fear of death. Paul says, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? In the tribulation period, when death comes in its fullness, here comes this pale horse rider. There's no Moses to stand in the gap. Yeah. It's like Aaron with his intercession. You know, there's no Aaron anymore to come with his censer now, to come and stand between the quick and the dead. It's sad. Imagine those people in the days when the plague struck them in the days of Moses and Aaron. If there had been no Aaron there to intercede for them. And here you see this pale horse rider is bearing down on you. And there's nothing between you and death. You're going to directly confront and deal with death yourself. Our friends, that's a serious, serious thing to think about. And this world, this age doesn't know that's what's going to happen to the entire age. There's no more poking at this time. You know, there's no more blood on the altar. Imagine the death angel coming down in Egypt and you don't have blood on the door. And that angel of death, like the pale horse rider, he can ride right into your home and he can take your firstborn. And there's nothing that you can do about it. Imagine the fear. You know, imagine the anguish, the anxiety of what's going to be happening in the tribulation period when death reigns in its fullness. What happens here now? There's no more intercessor. There's no more blood on the mercy seat. It's now become a judgment seat. Now there's the thunder and the lightnings and the great voice as it was a trumpet. Whereas before there was the blood of intercession. As we saw when your sins would come up, there was a buffer of blood and there was, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But now you find that blood's not there anymore. There's no more the blood that speaks better things. Remember Paul says, the blood of Abel cried out for justice, but the blood of Jesus speaks better things. The blood of Jesus speaks redemption. The blood of Jesus speaks forgiveness. The blood of Jesus speaks grace. It speaks mercy. The blood of Jesus speaks of a second chance. Yeah. Imagine the blood that's on there. That's what's holding back all of these things is the power of the blood. That same blood that you've applied to your heart, which makes you no more subject to death. Paul says death has no more sway over us anymore. Sin has no more sway. We're not subject to this pale horse rider. But friends, as Satan now prepares his way and is anxiously waiting for his opportunity that he can ride in his fullness, now he can just ride in part. Now the things can shake and now he can bring pestilence, he can bring COVID, and now he can bring all manner of things in the dark ages, the Black Death and all those things. We've seen it all in part, but imagine what it's going to be when it comes in its fullness at the end. Because now, in the tribulation period, it's not going to be the blood of Christ making intercession anymore. It's going to be the blood of the multitude. Remember the fifth seal. How long, O Lord, how long will you not avenge us of our blood? Now it's a different cry of blood. It's the blood crying for the kinsman avenger. He's no more the kinsman redeemer, but now he's the avenger of blood. Now the voice comes up to him to cry unto him, Lord, how long, how long? And now all of the blood of the righteous, all the blood of the martyrs, Jesus said, all of the blood from Abel to righteous Zechariah will be held accountable on this generation. And that's the generation that had seen the ministry of the Son of Man. It's a serious thing. When the sanctuary becomes smoky and the entire world under the pale horse rider is given over to the full authority of the person of death. Wow, I don't think we realize just what the tribulation period is going to be. You know, when Satan holds full dominion and sway like that. That's like in the days of Hitler, because it was a pre-tribulation. Brother says an amateur tribulation. Here came the First World War. There came the sword and blood was shed. They called it the Great War, the war to end all wars. It was a terrible thing. Straight after that came the Spanish flu. Killed more people than the war. Here came the pestilence. A few years later, here came the Great Depression. All the economies collapsed. Wow. You got your famine, you got your pestilence, you got your sword. All of them visiting one generation. And that led to something that opened the way for the foreshadow of the Antichrist, Hitler, to rise up. And when people had lost their jobs and the economies, the banks had closed, people's lost all their savings, there were no more jobs. People were so desperate. And here came a man anointed with nothing but death. He had written it in his own memoirs, 1919, Mein Kampf, saying, if I get in power, I'm going to put those Jews to death because they're the problem. You know, this man didn't hide what he was, but the desperation of people in that pre-tribulation period, wow. It made the people so desperate that when this man came, was anointed so darkly and could speak such swelling words and give them such promise and raise up hope in the midst of the people once again, they were willing to forsake their liberties. They were willing to forsake all things because here came a man who promised that he could set all things right. And friends, that is nothing but a perfect type of the beast when he rises up. In the midst after the collapse, in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the wars that will be taking place and the earthquakes and all that, here comes a man, Satan incarnate in a man, rising up to promise the world, I can fix these things. That's exactly what the beast is going to promise that he can do. And the world is going to bow down. It says all the world bows down to worship this man, except them whose names or in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And within 6 weeks, Hitler, what did he do? He started making his concentration camps, started arresting all of his political, the guys who were against him politically, his opponents. And he started now coming against the Jews. And the Jews now were trapped in Europe. There was no way for them to go in this amateur tribulation under Hitler and Mussolini, Brother Ram says. A type of what's coming upon this earth. And there was no way. Jesus says, as a snare shall it come upon the entire earth, and they shall not escape. There's going to be no way that people can go. Where can you go? Brother Ram says, the foolish virgin will be hunted down like dogs. With all of this apparatus, with all of these mechanics that they've put in place, all the surveillance equipment and all of this monitoring and intelligence systems, our friends, it's not an easy thing for a person to hide now. And now in the cashless society coming in more and more and becoming more and more reliant on the digital age and using your bank card, your debit card, whatever that it is, it's not going to be a difficult thing for them to turn you off if you're not part of the system so that no man can buy or sell if he's not part of the system of the beast, if you don't have the mark of the beast or the number of his name. You can see now we're living in the time when all these mechanics are being put in place. And he that restrains, the grace of God is holding it back. And we just see it in measure. We just see these birth pains striking the earth in every realm. The famine, the pestilence, the sword. We see economic woes. We see the earth groaning and shaking the way that it is. We see these diseases striking the world and shutting down the world economies. And friends, all of these things have a voice. And that voice is speaking to us to make sure that we're properly under the blood. Because the only thing that that angel of death respects is the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Yeah, and somebody asked the question just the other day about how do you know if you've really got the Holy Ghost? How do you know if you've really applied the token? How do I know if I'm really sealed away inside of Christ? We've read it before in the message, Desperations, the beginning. The prophet preached token in the morning. He preaches desperation in the evening. He says, I can feel it in your hearts. You people are asking, how will I know that I've got it? He says, look, there's no definite evidence. It's not that you spoke in tongues or that you got anointed or that you prayed for the sick. Those are powerful things, but those are anointings. Brother M says, here is how you'll know. What were you and what are you now? That's how you'll know. The testimony of your own heart. What do you love? What is your heart's desire? Do you love the Lord? Do you love His word? Do you love His people? Do you love to worship Him? Your flesh doesn't, but if your soul is redeemed, your soul loves His presence. Your soul loves His word. Your soul loves to be in genuine prayer. Your soul loves to fellowship with the sons and daughters of God. Your soul loves to be in the house of God, to come into the presence of God. Your soul loves to feed upon the angel's food, the children's bread, the word as it's broken to you. So he says that. He says, if you want to know whether you've passed from death to life, if you want to know whether your soul, the blood, the token, the very life of Christ himself has come into your soul, he says, as simple as looking at what were you before, what were your desires, and what are your desires now? By that you will know. That's why I really appreciate the message, friends, because the world is seeking to know. And people, some say you got to do this, and some people say you got to do that. And if you know, you got to have faith to move mountains. Another one says you got to have a big car, and you got to have a huge house. And another one tells you you got to have the gifts of the Spirit. And another one tells you that, you know, no. There's a more sure word of prophecy, something that can minister us to rest, that it doesn't matter what's coming upon this age to the believer. The only thing that makes it matter to us is like Abraham, when he saw it coming, he was thinking about Lot, and he was thinking about Lot's family, and he was thinking about his family being caught down there. You know, so to the believer, I don't think anybody should worry about these things. But if your life doesn't line up with the word, somebody, Brother Ramon said that, he says, I don't mind if my jacket doesn't match my suit as long as my experience matches the Bible. And anybody that's really, really born anew of the Spirit of God, your soul cannot live without the Word of God. It loves His Word. It hungers and thirsts for the Word. And it loves, as we say, prayer and all those kind of things. So the token is the thing that's required, applying that blood inside of your life. Because in the tribulation period, there's no more blood. And that's why it's such a fearful thing, that tribulation period, when death has nothing to restrain it, when Satan incarnate in the beast has nothing to hold him back. And friends, the souls of humanity, the lives of people, the destinies of people, you will have to deal directly with that system that's there, that system of death. And that's not going to be easy, because there's going to be an enforcement of the mark of the beast. There's always been a mark of the beast right the way from Genesis. But there's never been a time in all history that the entire world was forced to bow down to a certain system, or that everybody was compelled to take the mark of the beast. There's been times in one country or another in the days of the Dark Ages where it happened, where you had to join the Catholic Church, or you couldn't work, you couldn't buy, you couldn't sell. But I imagine the whole world's going to come under the sway and the dominion of this rider, this pale horse rider, whose name is called Death. And hell follows him. And now you want to face up to him without the blood. My, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. No, I just want to make sure that I'm deep in Christ, that my life is hidden with Christ in God. That's what the Bible says. I just want to make sure that old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new, because this is a deceptive age. And what's coming upon this age, we see and we hear the footprints of this approaching. Every time you look in the newspaper, every time you look at these events taking place, it's just God blowing that trumpet once again, that Jubilee trumpet, calling people to come to life. And friends, more and more are shutting themselves off into death. But God still has his people that are seeking for life out there. So we just really want to make sure that to them, who is this pale horse rider? He's the king of the bottomless pit. That's who he is. Now the bottomless pit is opened and death comes forth on his final ride. You'll find that in Revelation chapter 9. And Hades is following him. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit. And there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So it's like that dimension of hell, this realm of Hades, the realm of the dead, it's opened up. And all of that darkness of hell, all of that, what's in hell now, that dimension of hell now is released upon the earth. Oh, friends, we already see it, don't we? That dimension of Hades coming forth. We see it in Hollywood, so anointed with this dimension of hell. Now, with the dimension, we've said all the time, the dimension of movies they make now. They're just the extent of the perversion, the extent of the insanity they can put inside of these movies. And the more insane they make it, the more it makes big money at the box office. It's surprising. What about in the music? You know, those Grammy Awards the other week. You see these people, it's hell has enlarged its borders. Hell has poured out, and that dimension of hell is merging with the dimension of this earth. That's why the prophet said, we say it all the time, that quote, knoweth it not, thus saith the Lord, before the second coming of Christ, the world will go completely insane. And it is. Look at it in the fashions. Look at it in the way people dress. Look at it in the way that people behave themselves. Look at the relationships that are accepted now and things like that. And you'll see, but wow, yeah, this bottomless pit has been opened and this great smoke and all of these spiritual forces have been released as the smoke of a great furnace. But all of this darkness that came out, it says, and they had a king over them, verse 11, which is the angel, the messenger of the bottomless pit. And he has a name, and in the Hebrew, his name is Abaddon. Abaddon means perdition. That's what it means. Apollyon in Greek means the destroyer. This is the one that destroys. He's released, and he comes out. Death comes out, and hell follows him, and is poured out. And friends, we see the footsteps of that. We hear the footprints of it marching, just like the prophet said. This is that tribulation period. We can hear it marching ever and ever closer. And we can just see it in the manifestation. In every aspect that you look at now, you can see it marching on and on and on. Overspreading the earth. Riding with full authority. If you listen to the message, souls that are in prison now, you already see that. Now death comes and he comes with his minions now. And he's got his agents, his servants that bow down to his bidding. All of these fallen angels of Hollywood and all of these fallen angels, these musicians and these fallen angels, these politicians that legislate against the word of God and call evil good and good evil. It's just the time we're living in. The only thing that holds it back at the moment, friends, the Gentile age hasn't yet crossed the line between grace and mercy. It's, you know, the cup is getting fuller and fuller and fuller. But one of these days, we're going to see that line is going to be crossed. The Lamb's going to get up, take the book with the names, because every one of the redeemed has now come in. Satan, the accuser, is going to be cast out. Christ takes his church. As the church goes up, Satan comes down. The church goes into glory. Laodicea goes into chaos. That's what it says in questions and answers. 3.5 years while the church is having, the bride is at the wedding supper of the Lamb. You find Satan now gets on his pale horse. And he makes his final ride now. And his name is called Death. And hell follows him. And I, these other titles, he's called Abaddon. And he's called Apollyon. In the book of Daniel chapter 9, he's called He That Makes Desolate. The Desolator. Whatever he touches, he makes it desolate. You see, he rides his final ride. And he has his scythe in his hand. He's coming to reap now. this great harvest of death in the tribulation period. You'll see all as he has that scythe in his hand. But it's a threefold scythe. What is it? He's got the sword. He's got the pestilence. Yeah. He's got his deception. He's the white horse rider. He's the red horse rider. He's the black horse rider. And it all heaps up into one horse rider in the end, and that's the pale horse rider. And all that was in part in the past will manifest in the fullness of its power in the tribulation period. And everything that was in part before, we now find the mega part of it comes. There was economic crisis before. Now there comes the mega economic crisis. There was the earthquake before. Now there's the mega earthquake. There was tribulation before. Now there's the great tribulation, the mega tribulation. Oh, friends. It's a serious thing to think about what's coming upon this age. Look what he says, Isaiah 5 verse 14. He says, therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Now that pit is opened and hell opens up and enlarges herself. And imagine the harvest of death that's coming in that tribulation period. If you read it that way, that fourth seal, it says, power was given unto him over 1/4 of the earth. That's 2 billion people. Imagine 2 billion people perishing. Wow, that's a serious amount of people. A great harvest of death. Hell enlarging herself, opening her mouth without measure. But I'm really glad that Brother Ulrich Andrews, he really got the inspiration. He says, when I see all hell expanding her borders to swallow up humanity, I thank the one with the keys of death and hell who has opened the prison doors for me. Jesus says that in Revelations 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and death. Friends, Jesus, when he died on the cross, he unlocked the prison house. Nobody has to stay a prisoner anymore. But like Brother Max showed the other week, a pardon is not a pardon unless it's received as a pardon. Unless somebody hears that voice and walks and opens, you don't have to stay in that prison house anymore. You don't need to be a soul in prison because Christ has already opened the prison doors for us. Then he goes on to say, he has changed my course from the regions of the lost, from Hades that follows this one that's called death. He has changed my course from the regions of the lost, that world of insanity. Friends, this world we're living in, that, like we said that other day, that, you know, that a Jewish rabbi said, one of these days they're going to arrest us, put us in prison, try us, find us guilty. And the only thing we did wrong is we didn't change. When this insanity enveloped the world and just pushed it over the line of grace and mercy, the believer's got a refuge, the secret place of the Most High. And when everything else changes, we receive a kingdom, Paul says, that cannot be moved. We're building on a firm foundation that Jesus himself said. He says the gates of hell will not prevail against us. The power of the revelation of the revealed word. And that's why as we come to the end of the age, all that was before, we had the power of the lion. We had the perseverance, the patience of the ox, and the cunningness of the man down through the ages. And all heaps up together. And God now sends us at the end, the anointing of the eagle. He sends us when the pale horse rider goes out, an accumulation of all that went before. John is told, come and see. You see this rider that's called death. God is going to send forth the eagle. Friends, we're living in the eagle age. There's power in the eagle age. And he says in the last part, there, he says, he changed my course from that world of insanity by anointing my eyes with a heavenly vision to behold and to live eternally. In Laodicea, when it's just chasing after its money and its riches, it will sell its birthright out to this pale horse rider in the end, to the beast when he rides his final ride. Because of their love of money, their love of riches, they'll sell for their birthright for a plate of porridge. But Laodicea has given divine counsel, the final counsel of the ages. I counsel of thee to come and buy from me eye salve, that your eyes may be anointed and that you may see. And Jesus told his disciples, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. And I really do believe we should really, really thank the Lord, saints, for the grace that he's bestowed upon us, that he's anointed our eyes with a heavenly vision. And now we can behold and we can live eternally. Friends, the gates of hell have been opened. Yeah, through the ages, they were opened in part. In certain times, there was deeper persecutions, deeper tribulations. God just anointed his people. When there came great persecution in those Smyrnaean church age and those dark ages, the Lord anointed his people, released the anointing of the ox. And the people went willingly, laid down their lives, gave themselves over to the slaughter. When Satan came in with cunningness now, the Lord anointed them with the anointing of the man. And friends, when Satan now comes in this age, and he comes and tries to bring it all together in the climax of the ages, when he has his deception and then his persecution and he has everything that he possibly can use at his disposal, the Lord now comes down and he grants us the anointing of the eagle. He grants us the spirit of Elijah. He unveils, he unseals the seals on the book. He grants the revelation of the very battle plans and the purposes of the enemy. And all we've got to do is just yield ourselves to that anointing, to allow that anointing to anoint our eyes, and we behold the heavenly vision, and we can behold and live eternally. And as the prophet says, he says, this one here of this pale horse rider, he says, it's not now. He says, this is for later. This is for when the church has already gone, because Christ will never allow his beloved bride to go through that tribulation period. And they ask him a question in Questions and Answers 1964, and they say, why is it that none of the other foolish virgins through the ages, right from the age of Paul, all the way through Luther, Wesley, why did they not have to go into a great tribulation like the foolish virgin in this age? And Brother Ram says, because in those ages, like of Luther and Wesley and them, they never had the revelation of truth like we have now. When Christ comes and unveils himself and there's the full revelation of Jesus Christ, to turn that down and to reject that, you don't just go into an amateur tribulation. There comes a great tribulation, because God has done all that he can for this age, just like Jesus did all that he could at the end of the Jewish age. He healed the sick, blind, raised the dead, preached the gospel to the poor, walked on water, cursed the fig tree, did all manner of miracles, all manifestations. Then came the unveiling of the word. He broke the word to the people. He came with the revelation of the word. And they chose Barabbas, the person of death, instead of choosing Christ, the person of life. And Israel said, let his blood be on us and on our children. And they crossed a line. And Jesus wept over them and said, if only you had have known in this your day, but now it's hidden from your eyes because you knew not the time of your visitation. And friends, as this season of visitation to the Gentiles draws to a close, we can see it. And as the anointing lifts from the Gentile and is returning back to the Jews, you can see them starting now to respond. And even in the natural, they've got everything ready to build their temple, to get the restoration of their kingdom once again. How much more time do we have? We don't know. It's not given to us to know. But let's be faithful. Let's finish the work. Let's keep walking in the light as he is in the light. Let's appreciate the person of life, the revelation of Jesus Christ himself, unveiled so gloriously in the message of the hour. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And friends, let's feel pity and let's pray and intercede and let's reach out and do what we can. Because this world is sliding ever so rapidly beyond that point of no return. And the Lord will say, enough is enough. And then the church goes up and Satan comes down and that pale horse rider gets on his horse and he starts to ride his final ride. And his name is called Death, and hell follows him. May the Lord help us. Let's just pray before we finish. Lord, we just thank you for your grace that you bestowed upon us, Lord. We always think, Lord, when you think of these things, that, Father, how unworthy that we are of your mercy and your goodness, Lord. And Father, how we'd long to do more. Father, just to appreciate you and just to show our love to you, Lord, for your grace and mercy that you bestowed upon us. And I pray, Lord, if there's anybody there today, Lord, that, Father, they're not sealed away. They're not safe under the blood. They're not in your provided place. They're not, Lord, in the secret place of the Most High. They're not really born of the Spirit of Christ in the body of Christ. They don't have the blood between them and death at this time. I just pray, Lord, that even now that raise the hand in the heart and just reach out, Lord, to touch you now and to take you at your word. Because you know, Lord, that you have opened the prison door, that you have the keys to death and to hell. And Jesus, there's no reason for us to remain as souls in prison at this time. But Lord, as we see people and nations and Father, Lord, so many, Lord, just crossing that line and rejecting truth and grace and mercy for the last time and being shut in and numbered with the powers of darkness. Lord, we pray that it'll happen to none that we know. But Father, Lord, that you just reflect yourself even in our lives, Lord, in our attitudes, in our daily walk, that you may reveal yourself the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we thank you for the message of the hour. We thank you, Lord, for Father, the spirit of Elijah. We thank you for sending Elijah himself to come once again, Lord, to turn our hearts back, to come, Lord, to anoint our eyes with the eye salve of the heavenly vision. And Lord, you counseled us to buy of you the gold refined in the fire. Lord, we just desire the right attitude and the trials we go through that you may develop in us, Lord, that Christ-like nature, which is the gold that you really desire. Father, may you have mercy upon us, Lord, in the remainder of this week, even as we look to Friday. Help us, Lord, we pray, grant us grace. Help us to find, Lord, that bleating lamb that's out there, Lord. And Father, Lord, to shine your light into the darkness. For your glory, we pray, and bless all your people, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. God bless you richly, saints. Anybody would like to just say anything before we finish off? Any questions, anything like that? Just before we finish off.
A quick one.
Yeah, how you doing, brother? That's okay, brother. Time to go.
No, no, sorry. Go for it. No, that's fine. Go ahead, brother.
Go, brother.
No, let it, I just wanted to ask a question, brother.
Yeah.
I think probably we're looking at the same issue today.
Yeah.
The financial side of everything. You know, I was actually looking on the financial news as well.
Yeah.
Silicon Valley crashed. Yes. And I think HSB as well is actually in some kind of a mess as well.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are actually losing their job, and things like that. And then the other one is. The third one was the one you were talking about as well.
The Swiss bank thing.
The Swiss bank, yeah.
It's
quite amazing the way they're setting people up, you know. And if you actually look at it, you could actually see they're actually shepherding people into sorrow, you know.
Yeah.
Because the way they're shepherding people is they're actually giving us some funny things and some, you know, there's a lot of like internet things going on. They want people to actually follow those things. And then probably just grab them surprisingly. And then people will be just like, hey, but what did we do? You know, and ask a question, what did we do?
You know what it's like, Tony? It's like
you know, except, story, you know.
It's like that story of the Pied Piper, you know.
Exactly.
And they were so entranced by his music, they didn't realize where they were being led. You know, Tony, on this one of the economies and these banks, the interesting thing is that it's because of globalization. Everything's so interconnected. Like they say, you know, that if Britain sneezes, America gets a cold, or, you know, like they say like that. So everything is so interlinked, and there's so much greed in the system, if you go and see it. There's so much, you know, these guys have so been greedy.
Yeah.
You know, they got so much into debt, and the governments have allowed it to be like that. And when it's like a house of cards, when one card falls now, the governments have to quickly jump in, others the whole thing can collapse. In 2008, there's a film on the internet called The Men Who Crashed the World. It's a very powerful documentary, which goes to show the true story of how the world was just a few hours away from total economic collapse. An American government had to shut all of those bank big guys in a building, and they had to get the leader of the whatever Reserve Bank and all those things in America to come. And he sat them down and they told them, gentlemen, if we don't sort this out this weekend, on Monday morning, the banks won't be able to open. It was so close to total collapse. And that's why you see them once again now. And the systems are far weaker now than they were at that time. You know, they've used all their funds, all the goodwill on COVID. America's used trillions on its wars against terror and so forth. Everything's so weak now economically that they fear that. And now when these things start going, and I notice it on the news, they don't put the truth of it on the news. You have to really dig to find out the full extent of what's taking place. I think they don't want people to panic. Now, we don't know. They might just pump things in there and get it to chug along a little bit further. But according to prophecy, there is going to come a collapse one of these days, and they're not going to be able to repair it. You know, there's going to be a total collapse of these things. And this is setting the stage for that now. And whenever these things happen, I'm watching. I say, yay, how far is this one going to go? Because 2008 was serious. I had a three-day week, I remember, for several years at work, and companies closed. And, you know, you really look at these things. But the Lord is faithful to his children. In the days of Elijah's famine, the Lord had a provision for the widow of Zarephath, the Gentile bride, and the Lord will always look after his people. Brother Greg, you wanted to say as well, Brent?
Brother Greg? Yeah, brother, just a quick one. Because I really like what you said about the soul loves the fellowship, but it's the flesh not so much, you know.
Yeah.
I really like that. All this subject is rather very, very good, very sobering, very timely as well. Because we don't know what's around the corner. They talk about the crashes and everything, but I think that just shows again importance about dying to self daily, because the Laodicea have such an anointing of this lukewarmness and all these things what the Bible speaks about and Brother Bannon speaks about as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's importance of dying to self daily, to pick up the cross and follow Christ, because it's that's the anointing of the age that we're living, of the relax, riches and all this, what was said before. So
I think, Brother Greg, thanks, Brent. I think the thing, like we spoke once before, was if you look at Jesus approaching his last days, when he knew he was going to go to Gethsemane and he was going to go to, you know, to Calvary and that great crisis at the end of his life, he never had to change very much. No, he just approached it the same way. He'd go to the same place to pray, but he'd pray more earnestly. But it's not like when it came near the end that Jesus suddenly had to panic and say, oh, no, I need to get my things in order. You know, things aren't right. And that's what you want to be doing as a believer. It's like Enoch, he walked with God. It was that daily walk. And one day he just took a step higher, and the Lord took him. You know, it was that time for him to go. It must be a daily walk. If you and I are faithful today, if we're faithful with our finances, you know, if we're faithful spiritually, you know, we're just faithful. That's all the Lord asks us to be, is to be faithful. He has promised to take care of the rest. He said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what are we going to eat, what are we going to drink, what are we going to wear. Now, obviously, you're not a fanatic. There's nothing wrong. But the Bible says the prudent man foresees the evil coming, yeah, and makes an arrangement, makes a provision for it. So, no, you don't want to just be, you know, if the squirrel doesn't put away something for the winter, he starves. You know, if the ants don't put away something. So there's nothing wrong with that. But I don't think any person wants to be in a condition now where you're troubled by those kind of things. You know, the natural man will look, you have some concern in this, but God is faithful. He never will forsake his children. And the greatest manifestations of his glory come in seasons like that when things fall apart, like the widow of Zarephath, during times of squeeze and tribulation, like Daniel in the lion's den, like the Hebrew children. That's when the Lord really shows his glory on behalf of his people. So, you know, that's why the prophets watch when that squeeze comes, the persecution begins, watch the third pull then. He says God will have something for his children. He'll feed his children like he fed Israel in the wilderness. You know, he'll really, and all that we're going through, all these manifestations in our lives, the goodness of God, he answers prayer in the midst of our human side as well, you know, with our faults, our failings, our ups and our downs, but the goodness of God, the things he's teaching us. What you've seen manifest in part will be manifest in the fullness of its power. One day, you'll really, really see when that squeeze comes down, just as it is when the difficult time comes in your life, there comes a special something the Lord manifests inside of your life. So to the believer, we just have to live one day at a time, like you say. Do his will today. Walk in the light today, and tomorrow will take care of itself. You know, Jesus says, take no thought for the future. He says, don't worry about these things. After these things do the Gentiles seek. Now, the unbelievers, we don't want to be like that. Now, if we're concerned, we're worried, we're not ready, good. That's why the Lord brings these amateur shakings, the temporary shakings, to show us where we stand with the Lord. Yeah, because now is still the time of mercy. Now you can still hide yourself away. Now you can still put your sins under the blood. Now you can still draw near to him. If you're not sealed away of the Holy Ghost, now you can still be sealed of the Holy Ghost. So that's what I'm saying. These things, there's a voice behind them if you'll hear. You just don't want to be numb. You know, just don't want to just look at things as, this is where, no. When I look at these things, I say, Lord, what does this mean? And sometimes it's calling us to walk a little bit closer, you know, just to draw near like Jesus did, approaching the end. He didn't have to drastically change his life, but he went and he prayed more earnestly, the Bible said. And Jesus said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So God bless you, brother. Thanks for that. Anybody else before we finish these things? Anybody else there? I know saints that are...
Another one, brother.
Yes, brother.
I've ever noticed the leadership we have, you know, like in the world. Some of the leadership, like particularly if you look like in Ireland here, and see how the leadership is, it's gone so mean. They're not worried about what's happening with the rest of the people.
Yeah.
If you actually look at it and you actually see it, the leadership in every country is what the people actually voted for.
Yeah,
and the people are actually, you know, like sort of like enjoying that pain, you know, they're going through. Like if you look at an island, the housing crisis here is gone way beyond the point.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's sad, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And the way things are just going, they're not worried. But people actually like the leadership that's happening, you know.
Yeah.
They sort of like appreciated it. But if you look at it and you look back at it spiritually, brother, it's another dimension totally, you know.
It is. I think, Tony, it's like that with the sheeple, you know, the people
are sheep.
And they can very easily be led astray. The problem with this generation, because it's like a social media generation, it's an internet age. Look how Obama got in. Obama was one of the worst presidents in history with his policies. I mean, he was such an antichrist with his policies. But he wasn't good like he was like Hitler. He was good with his speech. You know, he could say the right things and all that kind of stuff. And people swallowed that. Yeah, and they voted the man in. And I was so surprised. I thought, surely they'll see the shallowness of the man and that he's Marxist in his policies, so left-wing in his policies. He was so much against the Bible, against everything we believe, so much against Israel, humiliated Netanyahu and that. And the people still went and voted him a second term. Then I said, I don't understand this generation. Can't they see? You know, so it's just the age that we're living in. It's like a very shallow generation. Like they say, people don't dig down deep very much. I went to the Christian bookshop sometime back in our town, and there's a guy there. I know the guy, Christian guy, runs, a nice guy. And I said, how's it going? He said, Andrew, you can see there's a need for revival. I said, how? He says, people don't buy commentaries in those things anymore. You know, you heard me say it before. They just buy these 7 steps to spiritual success, how to get a breakthrough in prayer, and 5 easy lessons, you know. Yes, we want the easy stuff now. It must be quick and easy. And wow, we want the microwave food. We want McDonald's. We want a takeaway. Yeah, it's like, but the Lord's never changed. To grow as a believer, you've got to spend time with him. You've got to allow him to work inside of your life. You know, you've got to get in his word and wait upon the Lord. You've got to break through and pray. Those principles will never change. But it's a very instant society now, very superficial society. You know, that's why they vote in this politician. Who's the best looking politician? You know what I mean? It's like, that's a major part of why you vote for someone, or they've got a good speaking voice. But it's poison what they're saying. It's poison what they stand for. And it's very sad to see that. know, there's like that discernment there. It's sheep very quickly caught up by these trends. Look at these trends that take place going around the world. Everyone gets swallowed in them so quickly. We sheep, we'll follow anything if we're not careful. And that's why it's the grace of God that my sheep hear my voice. And if you just keep following him, it's the greatest thing we can ever do. All will be well. But it's true, bro. It's a serious age that we're living in. And you, like they say, you get the leaders that you deserve. In the days when America was godly, what did they get? An Abraham Lincoln, a George Washington. Now look who they get, a Biden. I mean, hey, the man lies to people. He comes on there and says, there's no risk to the American banking system. No, you American people won't have to pay anything. That's a lie. The American taxpayer is going to pay every cent of these billions they're pumping into these crooked banks to keep them afloat so the whole thing doesn't fall down. Who's going to pay for it? He says American people won't pay a cent. Come on, please. Where's the money going to come from? Are you going to wave your wand and here comes the money? You see? And the people like it like that. I think it says in the Bible, the leaders lie to the people and the people like it to be so. You know, they can continue living in a dream. It's always going to be okay. I don't have to worry. I'll always have my job. You know, the government's telling me everything's going to be okay. But that's not what prophecy says. You know, that's not what the word says. And the word is the truth. Paul says, everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. Therefore, build your house on the rock. You build yourself in that kingdom. He who's the city whose builder and maker is God. Our inheritance is above. Nothing wrong down here having good things if the Lord blesses you with them. But don't let your heart be tied up in these things because look at all those people in those banks. Here today, gone tomorrow. Wake up tomorrow morning, you don't have any money. In the Great Depression, those big bankers went across on the boat, came to the UK from America. On the way back, 6 weeks or 4 weeks, whatever, sailing back, the Great Depression came. There were multimillionaires when they left America. When they got back, got off the ship, here were their families telling them they never had a penny. They lost all their money in the crash. Many of them committed suicide. It's just the conditions of the day. The song says, time is filled with swift transition. Naught on earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. I think it's the best advice. Anybody else before we finish?
Pastor, all I can say is 10 out of 10. We thank God for the wisdom of Solomon in times like this.
Yeah.
You know, like Brother Tony was saying, you look at all the things that are happening. You like you say, you know, I was listening to Peter Schiff and all these things. Yeah, but thank God for the wisdom of Solomon. We can come back to basics, go look back to the word through the lenses of scripture, and we can see. He says, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. That's what I'm hearing tonight. Thank you so much for that.
And like you say about Peter Schiff, I saw they interviewed him on Fox News. I saw the little clip. And it's like people laugh because he tells him it's going to collapse. He said, I've been telling you all the time. You know, he calls these things out. Then it comes and the government cranks it again because he tells the truth. He says, you build America. Look what America's doing. China's economy is growing because it sells goods to America. America doesn't have the money to buy those goods, so it issues bonds. China lends America the money to buy the goods from China. How long can you keep on doing that? You don't have money. You're issuing IOUs, government bonds. America in a year, it earns $1 trillion, just under $1 trillion in taxes and revenues. It's spending $2.5 trillion a year. It's got a deficit of $1.5 trillion a year. Can you keep doing that? Can you keep spending every month more than you earn, more than double what you earn? Yes, fine. You can get a credit card this month and you start putting it on the credit card. Next month, you get another credit card and start putting on that credit card to pay that first credit card. Then you get a third credit card to pay your second credit card so you can pay your first credit card. But there comes a time you can't do that anymore. And America's paying with credit cards for a long time. It's debt. America's debt now is over $31 trillion. That's a figure you can't even imagine how many zeros you've got on that. They can never pay that back. And most of that is debt, which is owned by the Chinese, the British, the Arabs, and all that kind of stuff. They're never going to get their money back. You know, the Chinese and others started to wise up a little bit now and realizing, but hey, this is a system that you can't perpetuate this system. It has to collapse sometime. You know, those Ponzi schemes, the ones where the first people get in, they make a lot of money. But the ones who come in at the end, there's no more money for them anymore. The pyramid schemes. America's economy is a vast pyramid scheme. It's taking taxes now. The Brahma says, we're using money now, which we'll receive in 40 years on tax. How long can you keep going in an economy like that? And now it's starting to shake and to totter. Well, we don't know how long it's going to take. We don't set dates and times, but we just know what the scripture says. We know what the message says. It's going to collapse. And when it collapses, it's going to be messy. And I'm so glad the fullness of the collapse comes when the bride is gone. That's why, you'll be in a kingdom where you don't have to pay a mortgage. You know, you don't have to worry about bus fare and all those kind of things. You know, Christ has paid it all, and we do appreciate that. God bless you, saints. Thank you very much for joining this evening. I know maybe it wasn't such an interesting topic, but we'll see how we get on next week. May the Lord help us. I think on Brother Tony's point, the final thing, I think where we make our mistake, Paul told us we should pray for the governments that you might live in peace. I think our mistake is we never pray for the governments. That's why they make dumb decisions and there's no houses in Ireland. Now we need a new house in Ireland. You can't get a house. And then we'll blame the government. But Paul also said we should pray for them. And I think we really should, because, you know, pray for them to have wisdom, to be able to unravel some of these complexities they've got themselves in, because we also get caught up in those complexities then because we're living in these countries. So maybe we should pray for them. Let's ask, Brother Tony, you pray for us before we close, bro.
Amen. Saints, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Father God, most precious Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, that you've given us this day, this hour, Lord, Father God, Father, enlightening, Father God, the saints, the children of God, Lord, Father God, to go forward, not forward to look back, Lord, Father God, to look side to side, Lord, Father God, but Lord, Father God, look for the Joshua Commission, look at the Joshua Commission and look forward with the Joshua Commission and not look back. Father, we thank thee for the day. We thank thee for this message, Lord, Father, although it was a little message, but Lord, Father God, it actually gives us strength, Lord, Father God. And it enlightens us more, Lord, Father God, to see the things of the future. Lord, Father God, if you look at our leadership, Lord, Father God, in this world, Lord, Father, they are so heartless. They have no people at heart, Lord, Father God. They have no brother or sister at heart. They only have themselves and their pockets, Father God, to fill. Father, they even forget their own relatives, Lord, Father God, but they only fill up their pockets, Lord. Lord, what a nasty place we are living in, Lord, Father. But, Lord, we look at you, Lord, Father, because you said, Lord, I will look up and your redemption is nigh, Lord, Father God. You are our Redeemer. You are our God. And you, at the end of the day, are going to redeem us because you redeemed us from the beginning of the foundation of this world. And I thank you, Lord, Father God, for that. Deliver us, Lord, Father God, in this time and in this day. Father God, we thank thee for the message. Father God, be with all the saints, Father, that are listening and being with us, Lord, Father God, that are not listening at work and in different places, Lord, Father. We thank thee in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless you, brother Tony.
Amen, brother.
To you, saints. May the Lord richly bless each one until we meet again. Have a wonderful rest of your week and the weekend as well. Then, God bless.
Brother, a quick one. You know that on the river Euphrates. It's a very interesting one. That one, you know.
Which one about the 200?
Yeah, the vials coming out of there. You know.
Yeah, because the river Euphrates was the boundary of the old Roman Empire.
Yeah.
So it's the revival of the Roman Empire.
Yeah, that's the revival
And that's what we see. I mean, like the EU and all that, it's the revival.
Exactly.
They're rebuilding their Tower of Babel. You know, they're building what was started by Nimrod in the beginning is being completed at the end. What the Roman Empire always wanted to achieve, you know, because the last empire was the Roman Empire, the iron and the clay right to the toe.
Yeah.
So what they wanted to achieve in the beginning, they're going to achieve it at the end. And that's all going to come through the beast. So, also in that same scripture, Tony, it speaks about the kings of the east, which is the China.
Yeah.
Look at the power. Look at today in the news. China making its alliance with Russia and Iran.
Yeah.
China brokering a peace deal and all those kind of things. It's like taking over from America. You see these kings of the east are rising. You can see that it's the conditions of the day we're living in.
That's it, brother. That's it. Amen.